Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
All sorts of people just try to throw Shedeur Sanders down and bring in all sorts of different equations while I don't know, just ignoring the idea that they watch the game. It bothers them to me. I don't know. I get angry about it.
I thought yesterday was more frustrating as a Browns fan before the game than it was the actual game itself.
Well, before, that was the other thing. It was a weird day because we were talking. I did the pregame with Coach, and we were just talking about the reports and everything. It took us until about 2.5 hours into that pregame show before we even mentioned Shedeur Sanders' name,
yeah,
which is not typical at all, but also the idea that we were just in so many other directions than what the actual game is itself.
I am not going to be fan shame guy. I'm not. But I would like to point out, there were far too many people completely okay, not completely, rooting for the Browns to lose yesterday. Guys, I can't do this, and I don't know how you can either. To me, rooting to lose for draft position in a draft where nobody's sure if any one of these quarterbacks is even on the level of the guys we want them to be, a la a Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Like, oh, could they be as good as Cam Ward? Dream bigger. But the point is, like, I think it's Brandon Little, one of the great Browns analysts around town, had talked about all the things you were hoping for. You want the Raiders to win. You want the Titans to win. You want the Giants to win, this, that, and the other. And I remember just thinking, like, I just want the Browns to win. Like, when did that become a hot take, that wanting your team to win at any point in the year is somehow you're not being a good fan?
It is fun to watch the other teams, though, and be like, oh, the Titans really are going to – wow, the Chiefs aren't going to score double digits at all in this game.
I don't care.
I like that part of it.
When it comes to draft position, I just do not give a rip.
You let the chips fall where they fall at the end of the day?
Yeah. Like, I just – this idea that tanking is good and that we should be rooting against our team if you're a real fan. No, to hell with that. If you're a real fan, you're rooting for the Browns to win yesterday. And I'll be honest with you. I looked at that game. I was a little frustrated they didn't win because I thought it was winnable.
Yeah.
But I didn't come away from that game scorched earth. I came away thinking you were 10.5-point dogs at home against a team that was playing for something. It's not like the Bills are the one seed by a mile. They're the 6th seed right now. Oh, and by the way, New England won as well. So New England keeps their spot for the AFC East, which right now would make them a 2 seed. So, like, the Bills are playing for something. And that's the other thing. Oh, the Bills sleptwalked through this game. The Bills were trying to win the game.
No, they came out guns a-blazing. First three drives, they scored touchdowns.
I don't know, man. I was proud of the effort that team gave yesterday, because it was antithetical to the Bears game. It was. The Bears game, they looked flat. They looked like their minds were on Cabo. And they put a positive in the column yesterday. And by the way, I thought Shedeur battled yesterday.
Shedeur did battle yesterday.
Like, it's just weird. It's just, I don't know. I just think anyone who came away from that game thinking Shedeur was awful, I think we need to revisit a lot of the December quarterback play we've seen from the losing Cleveland Browns, because he gave you a chance to win yesterday. He didn't win.
Basically, after the Quinshon injury, it is basically a whole line of backup players. I mean, like, a whole everything. And not only just between the offensive line, but also then you have a backup running back. You have does Jerry Jeudy even count as a number one at this point? Doesn't seem like it to me. Doesn't seem like you can even find him. You have the worst pass catching core in the entire NFL. You have backup offensive linemen across the board, and it's a December game against a team where you're 10.5-point underdogs. Like that game, when to be competitive in the fourth quarter in many ways was a win. But again, people don't want to look at it that way, and I'm not going to tell people how to look at it, because it is what it is.
I will. No, I think we need to have some perspective on this. I think we need to think about how games in December traditionally go, how the Bears game went a week ago. Friday, what did I say? I want to see this team be competitive. I want to see enough guys still playing for something.
Well, it definitely felt, by the way, like Kevin Stefanski wanted that win.
Yes.
Like I know in the past few weeks accused him is the right term, but wondered aloud whether or not this was Stefanski just kind of mailing it in and wanting to go to a different team. When you get Shador to basically not throw the ball deep at all and make that your game plan, it was a real game plan. You might have hated the game plan. I did. I hated the game plan. I get you want to take the free meals, as Coach Riz calls them. Throw the ball deep. Let's see what you can do. But that was Stefanski's way of trying to get them in a close game, in a competitive game, and they were moving the offense for a little bit. There were stretches where the offense looked alive.
So I will give Kevin Stefanski the credit.
He didn't lay down and die.
For keeping the team in
it. It was a real game plan.
Yeah, those guys were playing yesterday. I hated the game plan. And listen, I don't mind it for most of the time. At some point, if you'd like to win that game,
that's like his
bread
and butter.
You got to put him on the table.
No, but that's his bread and butter game plan. That's why I think today he came out and spoke so glowingly of Shador, is because Shador basically followed the instructions and asked him and basically did what Stefanski had asked him to do the entire time. He turned him into Dylan Gabriel in many respects, and that's not a compliment in any sort of way. I didn't know that Shador could be talked into having that happen, and he did.
I think Shador fans feel like their quarterback got neutered a little bit yesterday. I'm with you there. At the same point, I do think people are missing the number one thing why yesterday was a positive for Shador and the Browns is if Kevin Stefanski's still here, that's what he's going to want Shador to do. Shador proved he could do that. That, in no small measure, that is impressive. What's the thing they said? You know what? You can make the big plays, but he can't take the easy plays, the free lunches, as Coach Reisland would say. And again, Coach, thank you for my free lunch today. I really enjoyed that burger bet. We should do it again, but not right now. But by the same point, like, Shador did prove something yesterday, even though they didn't get the win.
Yeah, if I was Shador, I would have gone against the rules. I would have made the bet that Stefanski won't be here at the end of the season, and just hope that that's the reality, because that's not that wasn't great in many respects for what Shador is trying to do as far as proving to the rest of the NFL that he can play in this game.
Well, no. I think that is, though. I think him being a check down Charlie yesterday, I think the rest of the NFL wants to see that from him. I think coaches want to see.
I just don't need a whole game of it. I really don't. I sat there and I'm like, well, I understand defensively what they were trying to do and limiting everything. You're in the NFL. Offense can beat defense. Make plays happen. Hated. I didn't like that at all.
No, I would agree. But I think if Shador's out to prove to the entirety of the NFL, like, do I think he probably endeared himself to Stefanski a little bit
because
he ran his boring ass offense?
That's why Stefanski spoke as glowingly today about him as we've ever heard him.
But it's not just Stefanski. There are coaches out there that have said, Shador can't do that part of the game. That's why he can't be my starter.
And so
you did put that tape out there for the rest of the NFL as well.
I wonder this entire time if this stretch here was just all about Shador basically trying to prove what the doubters are saying about him and rewrite it and do so with the limited opportunities that he's been given. Like, I don't think it's an accident that the most positive thing you can say about Shador right now is that he throws a deep ball. When the deep ball was the one thing coming out of the draft that people said he couldn't do, and he made sure to make that the point of emphasis for the first 3-4 weeks that he had an opportunity to showcase that he could do that. I don't think that's an accident. Like, and so maybe this is just him just again checking off boxes, and he hoped by the end of the season he's checked off enough boxes. But ultimately, it did nothing for me. It didn't satisfy me in any sort of way.
Yeah, but think about it. It's not about satisfying you. You already bought in on him. There are people that said you can't play within the offense. They can't say that. Like we've now moved. I see it on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube chat already. Oh, she's stacking up the losses. Great analysis, bro. Yeah, because that's why they lost. It wasn't the defense made James Cook look like Jim Brown circa 1962. No. By the way, the defense was putrid yesterday. I know they put it together in the second half, but the point is that's why they lost. My point is, like, Shador did, to one of the biggest things people would use to discredit him, for one game only, he did that. So again, I hated it. You hated it.
I hated it.
But he did have to prove that to everybody in the NFL.
I know, but the thing I liked about it was that you could tell Stefanski was doing it. That was a classic Stefanski game. And this is why I think his brain is broke right now from an offensive standpoint. He thinks that's the best way to win a game. And I just disagree. I think when you're going up against Josh Allen and Cook and all these other guys, I just don't think that's the best way to win a game. But it was they looked lively at the end. That's all that mattered to him. They looked like they were competitive at the end. That's all that mattered to him. I think he was trying so hard to make sure that it wasn't a blowout again, like last week, that this is what he came up with. And so from that perspective, they executed it. But it's not a way to do anything long term.
216-474-0092. What grade does Shador get for Sunday's game against the Bills? If you're hypercritical of Shador today, or if you're hypercritical of the Browns, or hypercritical of Stefanski today, I tend to think, I know this is the kind of game that I know nobody wants to do this because we all like to just be fire Stefanski, Shador is or isn't the guy. I think yesterday was a good day for the Browns. As much as it stunk to lose, I did want to win that game. I think it was a good day for the Cleveland Browns. We got quick hits coming up at 3:20 today. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider at 3:40. We'll get to his thoughts on Shador's recent play. We'll get to his thoughts on the value of getting a number three pick or a top three pick. Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst at 5. Obviously, Nathan, not just in the booth with Andrew Siciliano each week, but a big film guy himself. Will get his take on Shador. Where does this offense go without Quinshon Judkins? And then Daryl Ryder coming up at 6 o'clock today. I will say that was the thing that was the one part of it that was really hard to take yesterday was Quinshon's injury.
Yeah.
You just root for full recovery for that kid because he really did a lot of really special things, and I hope he gets the opportunity next year to be 100% healthy. And show everybody how really good he can be behind a decent offensive line.
Yeah, he just needs a better offensive line. Like, he didn't have much of a chance. And it is one thing, though. And Coach, by the way, it's like the 7th Coach Riz shout-out, but you buy his burgers, you get a lot of shout-outs, I guess.
True.
Coach Riz has been harping on this for weeks, the idea that his playing style leads to injuries. Like, in particular, his playing style not great when it comes to that part of the game, and there we have it. That was crushing.
Eric on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel saying B+. Jim saying C. Devrion saying B. What grade does Shador Sanders get for Sunday's loss to the Bills? And the future with Shador in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Granted, I think the angle caused as much as any, but he clearly threw the hell out of a ball that he could have just kind of given him one.
Yeah.
And that was really the biggest problem I had with Shador's performance was that interception. I thought the next one that was tipped, kind of thought that was on the offensive lineman.
Oh, it's funny. I've had a different take on this than I feel like most people. Everyone's kind of given, they've put it on Shador, and I just feel like with Quinshon in that play, you got to make that catch. I get you're a running back, and I get you're running. It's not something you're typically asked to do, but people act like it was like a big reach back in order to try to get it. It hit him right here.
Yeah, hit him on the back shoulder.
It hit him right here. Like, you can catch, you can easily catch that. That's not. Is it the world's greatest ball? No, but also, is that the type of ball that ball should be caught?
I don't know. I can go that far.
That ball should be caught.
I don't know. But again, if that's the worst interception I have on you, something that if it had been a different angle would have just hit, like, basically bopped down to your feet, I think we're fine. Like, I think the thing, like, when people just put up the box score of Shador, like, there was the third quarter interception with the Titans where if he doesn't have those two touchdown drives at the end of that, we probably have to come in and have a real conversation about what a bad pick that is. Then what? There was one other bad pick the next week. Every other pick that I can remember with Shador has been a pretty understandable pick.
Yeah, even the third one in the Chicago game, Coach today was like, yeah, that's not anything you can put on Shador. Like, there's a lot of people that have kind of accepted that. By the way, for the EPA riders out there, we got to come up with a fun term for these EPA guys that think that this is
something.
I know
you want to say something with riders.
Well, it's all these, like, these people that just think it's a catch-all stat while not really understanding what the stat actually is. And also then, when I present the numbers the way that I present it, just want to refute it and act as if that's not something, because they don't know the stat. They just think it's replaced passer rating and QBR as a catch-all stat while not really understanding what goes into the whole entire stat. But we'll let the record show Shador did have a better day than Josh Allen yesterday, according to EPA.
We'll just
let that show.
Now, do we get to give them that credit, or do we also have to find a different way to discredit it?
I don't know. They'll probably discredit it in some sort of Josh Allen way, but we'll just put that out there. And in fact, if you want to take a deep dive into it, he's had a better EPA than two out of the last three quarterbacks he's played in Cam Ward and Josh Allen. But again, I'm not here to go ahead and do that because that's just, that's just going to make it seem one way or another.
I think with where we are in the season, I think the bar needs to be lower. Like, Jim on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel was saying, hey, it's another loss. I don't care. I don't put the losses on Shador. I really don't. Like, yes, he had what I would say is a bad interception to Quinshon, but you were in it. You're in it. And again, what I think is really important is he played the game Stefanski wanted him to play. I disagree with that. I need, like, I'm cool with doing what you did yesterday, the check down Charlie stuff, for a fair amount of the game. I need at least a shot downfield every quarter.
Well, and so this is the other part of this that I feel like not enough people are bringing up, and I feel like is worthy of attention right now. I bet Chidore was getting ready. They were setting a lot of things up in the first half for the second half, and once enough the defense was going to respect the idea that Chidore was going to go to the checkdowns and he was going to be able to take the simple pass, because I think that part of what they were betting was that he wouldn't do that. And so once he proved in the first half he would do that, if not for the pinky injury, I think the second half does look a lot different. And I know, I got mad at the broadcast, like J.J. Watt, first off, do you even know the rules of the game you're watching? How many different plays did J.J. Watt just get fundamentally wrong? They had to come out of breaks and be like, I guess I was just wrong about what happened with Josh Allen and the ball over the line. I guess this is not the rules of the NFL. Like, you broadcast the games. Understand what the rules are. But on top of it, the idea that Chidore, in this entire stretch, it rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, what I'm going for here.
216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Schaben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We got one of those EPA Richard Riders, I think.
We got to come up with a nickname for
him. I like Richard Riders.
Oh, no, sorry, I lost my train of thought there for a second. The point was that J.J. Watt came out and, like, diminished the idea that having a pinky injury would add. His pinky looks like a roast beef sandwich.
Yeah.
He's like, no, that one, that's nothing. That doesn't do anything. It's skin to ball contact. That should matter a little bit, but it'll be fine. And it's like, no, that probably mattered a great deal. I bet the big picture, I bet they were setting up for a big second half to have him actually unload the ball.
Dave, fighting back, though, the EPA, Richard Rider saying Josh Allen did not throw two INTs in the Bills.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Guys.
I can't argue. Again, everyone decided.
Everybody said it was going to be a blowout.
And everyone decided already that we can't argue with EPA numbers, right? And so if the EPA gave Chidore a better game than Josh Allen did, that's irrefutable, right? Isn't that the point?
I believe so.
Isn't that kind of what everyone decided?
I thought it was irrefutable.
With the Chidore discussion, that it just, well, that's EPA. No one can argue that at all. No one can use their eyes and look and tell you anything that happened outside of, what the EPA number says. So here we are. EPA said he was better than Josh Allen. Here we go.
I think we're to the point.
If you can't understand the dripping sarcasm there, I can't help you.
Yeah, I got it.
I know you did a very good job. Every now and then, I feel like my sarcasm just misses.
That's most of my life, yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
There are people out there. I used to not think this, because as a kid, everyone in my life was very sarcastic. So everything I said that was sarcastic, it hits. But as I've met more and more people in life, I'm like, oh, there are people that just take every word you say as serious.
Well,
I'm not a very serious human in that regard.
Depending on how sarcastic you are, if you're also really good at just selling it, like there's always, like with me, there's always like I can see somebody watching to see if I'm going to break because I'm clear. Like they're like, I think he's being sarcastic, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That ends up being one of life's little victories. That's fun.
Okay.
Then you're like, I like that they're walking away being like, I don't know if he's being sarcastic or not. That's pretty funny to me.
I guess so.
You got to find victories in the small things.
You do
have
to find victories.
But no, I mean, I would put Shador's performance at a C+, B-. Like, I he's not why they lost. Why they lost was the defense did not show up in the first half. And in fairness, the defense did show up in the second. I don't think you really did a nice job against Josh Allen. You just gave up too much. It was predictable what they were going to do with James Cook. And what was it? 9 carries, 100 yards in the first half. That's the difference.
Yeah, I mean, James Cook has been the best part of the Bills all year long, and they let him cook. Exactly right, and he was able to do James Cook things, which is again, it's not the end of the world to have that type of game. It was interesting in the fourth quarter against a really, I'm going to call him a decent team, not a good team in the Bills. That's not the end of the world. It's just, you know, it's tough. The whole conversation's tough.
What grade does Shador get for Sunday? Chris in Cleveland, what you got, buddy?
What's going on, afternoon, fellas? How you doing?
Doing all right, buddy.
Good. I gave him a overall a B, but considering his line and the personnel that he had, I really considering he was playing against a team that was trying to make the playoffs. I think he did an A in that regard. So that's just what I feel. He was responsible for over 200 yards of offense. The guys he was playing with, you know, really didn't do well. And here's another thing, like, my question, like, we only lost the game. We missed about that missed field goal would have tied the game. Mm-hmm. And that whole first half, how the defense was playing, is one of the reasons that we lost. And here's my last thing. Mason Graham, like, he wasn't there. He was a missed object in the whole first half. But when he got in the second half, was able to stop the run. I don't know why the personnel question of not having him in on the first half. They said it was rib issues, but put some sauce on them ribs and get out there and play. I don't know why he wasn't out there. So that's just my thoughts. I think we could have won that game against a team that was hungry to make the playoffs, and we missed it. But I think Shador did well.
Chris, I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, I do think, you know, we can get into the conversation later about whether it's too hard to evaluate Shador.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really looking at numbers for a rookie. I'm not really looking at wins and losses. I'm looking at, are you seeing continued development with Shador Sanders? And there is no way. Again, I hated the game plan. I hated the game plan because it felt like Kevin Stefanski neutering Shador the same way he did to certainly Joe Flacco, but probably even Dylan Gabriel. But like, Shador's pocket presence in this game was 10 times what it was in the Bears game. So like, that is a win. Honestly, I thought Shador early in the game looked really comfortable and got into rhythm.
He didn't have a sack until the fourth quarter.
So like, I understand that we'd love, he had a 300-yard day, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, you won by 30 points. Well, then you should have started him in October. You should have started him when this team had a healthier roster and maybe more of a fight and more of a belief in winning.
Yeah, and that's an important part that we're going to have to keep going back to, this idea that, this roster is just not, it's not set up or conducive for anybody to even look half as decent as Shador is looking in these games.
And I understand that if you say nice things about Shador or you just don't run him down or talk poorly about his father or talk poorly about Boog or somebody else, that you're supposedly a supporter. I keep watching this young man play quarterback, and I go, there's something there. I want to see it. I want to see it when there's more around him.
Right. That's exactly right. I want to see it when you have an actual chance.
Like, it was probably about, now again, different belief points. I started thinking Dylan Gabriel was a scrub of a quarterback. Have to admit that out loud. But I kept looking when Dylan was starting. All right, did you make the play? Did you do this? Did you do something that I didn't think you could do? And the reality is I never saw it with Dylan, and I got really impatient because it was like, what was frustrating to me is Dylan looked exactly like I thought he would, whether he played for the first time as a 10-year vet or a rookie. That's who I thought he was on the far extreme bad side of things. When it came to Shador, I keep seeing like, that's why I want to see him. Oh, well, that's why I want to see him. And oh, hell, if you put an offensive line around him or give him a true mm-hmm. number one wide receiver, like the idea that we are in with 2 games to go, this is what? Start 5 for Shador? And I have a curiosity about watching him play. Guys, that's not typical. Like when you play rookies that aren't first round rookies this late in the season and he's the third quarterback off the board and you're losing a bunch of games and there's a lot of things there, I literally cannot recall.
And you're not just saying this because it's your fun line to say when you don't actually want to say something.
I do not recall a time where whether you think he's a second round talent or you know, you want to call him a fifth rounder, where that kid's played as a rookie and I keep going, okay, what else you got? Like this is, I think my point is, I think there are a lot of people that want to write this off as, well, it's just a lost Brown season and you're playing a rookie and blah, blah, blah. Guys, I think there's something there. And I think you just have to open your eyes a little bit and stop being an EPA Richard Rider or...
Oh, we got to come up with a good name for this.
I like Richard Rider because it's...
We'll workshop it a little bit. But the point is that how many people in that Josh Allen draft did after the fact we all sit around and say, well, you know what, it wouldn't have mattered if Josh Allen got drafted by the Browns anyway because he wouldn't have had the 2 years to try to figure out if he could become Josh Allen. You know, try to actually grow some of the traits that you saw within Josh Allen and watch him get better. It's why I believed for years it didn't matter if he took Josh Allen that year. And I think a lot of Browns fans agree with that assessment. We have a guy right now that's showing a lot. He's showing a lot on the field each and every week. And if you toss him aside and you say, I just want to go for like the worst case scenarios if they do something like Tua that we'll talk about later on. But like that'll drive me up the wall. But like if you throw him aside for anything that isn't a number one overall, number two overall pick, and it's because you think Mendoza or Moore are just the guy you cannot live without, well then you deserve everything that comes your way.
It's a conversation. If you had said 5 weeks ago, all right, you're gonna see enough that it's at least a conversation. Do you rock with Shador? Do you try and trade up? Because right now that's what you need to do for one of these quarterbacks. That being a conversation is a real win for the Browns.
Yeah, and by the way, I won't, if the Browns turn around and say Dante Moore's our guy at number two or Fernando Mendoza's our guy at number one and we're going to trade up to do it, I'm not at the spot where Shador's done enough where I get to kill him for it. You know, like I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm not. But the idea that you do any other option outside of we can't pass on this guy because he's Joe Burrow, then it's unacceptable to me.
216-474-0092. Let's go with... Martez in Florida. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. How are you guys today?
Doing pretty well, buddy. Thank you so much. What you got for us?
Well, I'm with Peterlin on this one. I didn't like the way that Shador played. Now, I know Stefanski thought that was the greatest thing in the world. I mean, his face was just bright, and the remarks about Shador was more glowing than I've ever seen this entire season, but I didn't like it. But I also... you know, paid attention to a lot of the packages that the Bills were running. They were playing a lot of deep coverage packages. So I think their game plan was to not allow Sanders to make those deep explosive plays and just kind of begging him to take a lot of the underneath stuff. And I hate it too, because there was one play, I think in the first quarter, where there was somebody on the go route and Sanders would have normally threw that ball. But I also think that, I think Shador is conflicted, because if he makes one of those tight window NFL throws, the guys aren't talented enough to pull it in. So if something goes wrong and it's an interception, they're going to say, see, he shouldn't have threw that ball. Or when he threw the ball to Jerry Jeudy, now you have some people are saying, hey, see, that was a terrible throw. But when you're throwing the guys like Travis Hunter and guys that can pull those great plays down, those 50-50 balls, those are the plays that make you look excellent as an NFL quarterback. And I just don't think he has the guys around him to do it. You know, and another thing, guys, and I appreciate everything you guys talk about. I love the show.
Thank you, bud.
You know, when you look at Jackson Dart, he threw for 30 yards, I think total, maybe 32 yards, something like that. And, you know, when you look at the struggles Cam Ward is having, these guys are top picks. No one is saying that he sucks. No one is saying he's not the guy. I think the Browns are our fans are the only persons that believe you got to show unequivocally you're the guy. It doesn't work that way, guys. I don't understand that, but I hope Shador is just trying to get check marks on the box, like you guys stated, so he can just kind of prove everyone wrong that I can do everything. But I really hope that they don't coach out what makes the kid great.
Yeah.
And thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Martez. Appreciate you, buddy. All right, so there's two things. Yeah. One, I think if there's a lot – I think it would be very normal for any rookie quarterback to have a lot going on in their head, because there's a lot of information you're getting every single week.
We wondered that about Dylan even. Like at parts of games, yes. Does his brain have too much stuff that Stefanski was throwing at him?
And I think it's common. Like, think back to Baker and all the things he was trying to process for the first time in real time. I think that's more about just – accepting new coaching and having somebody other than your dad or Pat Shurmur be your coach than it is on just not trusting the guys. Here's the thing. Guys, Shador's serviceable. He's been serviceable. That's as much as you could expect given the whole chronology of what's happened since he was here.
He's not losing you games.
I know that this is tough to accept because we want oh, hey, there's a franchise quarterback, open shot, we're good. I get it. I really do. Serviceable is a real win for the Browns with Shador, considering everything that's happened and how the developmental opportunities came about and when they were and where they were. This idea, like we had somebody on the YouTube chat being like, if his name was John Roberts, it's like, guys, I honestly saw Deion as a detractor. I don't love the Deion part of this. The Shador part of it has been really, really positive. And the kid's been serviceable, and I can only imagine a full year in an offense, mm-hmm. a full offseason, and better pieces around him. I wonder how much better than serviceable he can be.
No doubt about it. And that's worth the look, and that's worth keeping this thing going. But again, like if they turn around and say Dante Moore is Joe Burrow and we have to take it, I'm not going to kill him for that either.
216-474-0092. Are you more or less open for Shador as the quarterback in 2026 after the latest game there? And two moments stood out from Shador's press conference after the game. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. There were two noticeable and noteworthy things that happened in Shador's post game yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one, I think, is the one that got more attention, and it was Shador's answer on a question about the 4th-and-2 play call.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Go for it on 4th-and-2.
I know you can't be asking me that question, man. Come on, man. We can't see that's like the thing. Like, if we want to change, the narrative, change the franchise, if we want to like help, we got to speak life. You can't, those type of things is like separate us. Like a lot of the players like get these type of questions, and then we want to be working with y'all. We want to be proactive, but like when you ask questions or when questions are asked to us players, and it's like you pinning stuff against each other. It's like, come on now. It's like a thing in the locker room. Like, you know, we're not gonna be able to talk to them for real. We're not gonna be able to give them what they need. Like, because that separates the team. That don't help anything. It don't help anything in any situation. No matter how you answer it.
So there's been a few different ways this has been picked apart.
Yeah.
And the first one is the idea that there's some validity to what Shador's saying about the question being asked. I've seen that question being asked in every market, in every which way, on winning teams, on losing teams. The question is not the issue.
Right.
And I think it was very convenient that people acted like this was a gotcha moment when it was just a pretty normal question that you would get in a post-game setting.
Yeah, he asked him about a play in the game. It's not like there's nothing polarizing attached to that. And it was a critical part of the game. You're not doing your job if you don't ask him about the 4th-and-2 on your own 42-yard line.
Now, when it comes to the Shador side, Shador, they're not trying to divide you. They're just trying to, but I understand why he's saying what he's saying.
Well, he knows anything that is looking like you are questioning Stefanski in any sort of way, for Shador in particular, goes off guns a-blazing.
I don't think it was a coincidence that we heard Miles have some specific kind of reaction to a question. Like, I do think.
Oh, yeah, and we've heard Jerry Jeudy a few weeks back, by the way. Like, I think, if anything, this might be their new rallying cry.
And that's exactly what I was going
to
say.
If they have to use the media as the rallying cry, okay, fine. I don't mind that in the slightest bit. If it's the team against the big bad media, at least it's not the team against itself.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, this is one of the, everybody seems to have taken a side against somebody, either the reporter that asked the question or Shador and the way he answered it. And the truth is, I have no problem with the way, like, I want the quarterback to say something. I get really bored, and not really bored. I don't think it gives you any insight into how people think if they come out there and go, well, that's, you know, I, you know, it's beyond my pay grade or whatever, whatever cliche you could use. So I also am not going to hammer Shador for just giving us insight into maybe how they're thinking, because it's like, oh, okay, maybe they are, maybe this is their rallying cry.
Well, he is extra sensitive to trying to make sure that he doesn't say anything in regards to Stefanski, because I think he knows how that's going to go. A few weeks back, he had the press conference. He did a very similar move than this one, where he basically highlighted like the idea of like, I can't answer that. I'm not going to say anything bad about Stefanski. I don't want to. Let's keep this thing moving, essentially. And so I think he looks at this as, I think he looks at it like a trap almost. But it really, that was not a trap. That was just a genuine question about a play in the game.
So there was another moment. And this is actually, so I heard about this, and then I did talk to a few people that were there and that were not a fan of the way this went down. So the first question of Shador's press conference was not asked by a traditional media member, like somebody who's in the scrum every single day. And it was not actually asked about the game itself. And then Shador, you're going to hear how this kind of plays out. Shador had to have the young man repeat the question.
So Shador, man, from HBCU to Power Five now to the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. What has been the most helpful time during this NFL process? What has been most helpful to you during that process?
One second. It's late to the party, you know? You guys are questioning again.
All right, so basically, the question appeared to be a plant that they're going to use for some Shador media thing, because Shador had to ask the guy to repeat his question because Shador's camera team hadn't gotten there.
I don't know. I got to find out who this guy is. I need more. I need
his
more
name
intel.
Is Jim.
You don't know his name is Jim. You don't know who is this guy.
Mike.
It could be like a HBCU student reporter, and he wanted to make sure that his moment got captured because they're gonna. I don't know.
It's the first question of the press conference
Who is this guy?
It's the first question of the press conference after the game.
Okay,
you don't plant questions. The first question after a game.
Well, the Browns credentialed whoever this is, so they know who this guy is. Who is this guy?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna go with Jim. But the point is, there's a way to do this.
Also, the Browns PR person is the person that gives the right to who gets to ask the first question. So if anything, this falls on the Browns PR person if you're worried about the first question.
I think the idea that this was set up and that it wasn't... One, the rest of the Browns beat couldn't just get the questions they needed to get answers for out. I think that's where it's a bad
thing. The weird part is him being like, hold on, we didn't get that recorded. That's the weird... Because these things are all recorded.
Yes.
Like the Browns.com has all of the, they have all the videos up there. They're all on YouTube. Like this would have gotten recorded whether it was Shador's people or not. That's the part that I think is a little weird, that he had to make sure his people got in there to record it. Clearly we're missing a lot of info in the story though.
I think we're missing one piece of info.
Who's the guy?
Who's the reporter? I think we have enough of it to go.
Because it does change it. If this is Shador's friend, then all right, maybe not great.
So we think somebody's just asking him a question for any other reason? I think it's the fact that you planted this as the first question.
Well, again,
I don't think it's a bad look.
That's
we
not
don't
him.
Know that.
Yes, we do. Browns PR chooses who gets the questions.
Do I hear Peter saying you down front?
That's how that always works.
And not in every single one. There are times where the whoever is being interviewed does.
No. We've both been in a million of these. How this works is you started off. It's not just
not
the first person.
Not everyone works
to speak.
The exact same. Not everyone works the same way.
All right,
so
are we missing more information then?
I think there's a wild defense of something that looks. There's just kind of a goofy look from Shador.
I just think it's weird to point it out is what I think, because I think we're missing information.
So you, okay. We miss information on everything all the time. None of us ever get 100% of information. For instance, we're going to talk about Kevin Stefanski today.
Again, that's why I'm just not co-signing it. Like, you can give your take on it whatever way you want to give it. I don't think, without knowing who the reporter is. And
I haven't been able to get my take out, because every time I get into it, we get into who's Jim.
Or we'll give your take then.
I think I've tried to about three times now.
We'll give it then.
Okay. It's a weird look from Shador. The first question to this press conference shouldn't be about anything other than what happened in the Bills and Browns game. And quite frankly, this should happen at the end of the press conference after all the working press and the beat reporters who cover this team every day have gotten all the questions they need answered.
And I agree with the concept that like this should have been last, if anything. This should not have been first. But again, we don't know who gave him the first question. And again, historically, that's up to the PR guy. And also, I don't know who this guy is.
It's Jim.
You keep saying, Jim, we don't know who this guy is. I mean, it's something you're hot on. I just don't care about.
216-474-0092. Our fans back to fire everyone. A few reports Say the Browns might not be there with you. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.